Grant that by steadfastness in the same faith we may evermore be defended from all adversity. Words, my friends in Christ, from the collect of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been reading on the internet reviews of a book that has recently been published. It's called How the West Really Lost God, by a woman named Mary Eberstadt. She's written on a number of Catholic social and moral issues before. Looks like an interesting book. She says that the rise of secularism and the decline of religious practice started with disruption of family life in the West. She maintains that an intact family creates people, or results in people, who are religious rather than the other way around, that religious people create intact families. She gives some interesting statistics on religious practice around the time of the French Revolution, before and after. England, the United States, the change of marriage laws, the effect that these had. And she traces different trends in the United States and in Australia. I think that she is incorrect on the cause. That is to say, the disruption of family life, rather the loss of religion, is not a cause of the loss of religious faith in the West, but rather I think that there is a correlation, that there's a consistent pattern and a seeming relationship between these two things, between family life and religious practice. You see this on a small scale in a very typical case, someone who has lived an extremely irresponsible, perhaps even an immoral life, decides to get married and have children. And he starts to think about the big issues of life. Starts to think about his spouse, the idea of permanence, living with this person for the rest of my life. And what am I going to do? How is this going to work out? What about children? And often when children come along, then these people who have perhaps had very little in the way of a religious background then seek out a church of some sort or another. I think this is the result of something very natural, that is to say, part of human nature. When your thoughts turn to a spouse and to family life and to children, you start to consider the bigger things, the bigger issues, the overriding issues of life, that there's something perhaps that is beyond me that I better think about. This is a good time in the church's liturgical year, I think, to talk a little bit about families. We had, a few weeks ago, we had Mother's Day and a Marian procession there. Even though it's not part of the liturgical year, nevertheless, it's something that we talk about in relation to the church's liturgy, in relation to Blessed Mother. We had confirmation, which is a family occasion very much, on the Vigil of Pentecost. And next Sunday, we will have First Communions. We'll have a number of children, a good number of children, making their First Communions. So our thoughts naturally turn a little bit to families. What about our families as faithful Catholics? How can we make them strong? How can we avoid falling into the trap of the modern family, which is this instability? I think it is by this that you have to remember, above all, the reason that people do not succeed in being faithful to their marriage vows in the sense of living together to the rest of their lives and raising children, the reason why there are so many breakups has to do with a lack of virtue in the modern family life. And one virtue that is of key importance is fortitude, the virtue of fortitude. It's a supernatural virtue that makes the soul strong in pursuing things that are morally good, but that are nevertheless difficult to acquire. And it makes the soul firm in bearing hardships. The inclination of a person without virtue in a marriage that has hardships and difficulties is eventually to give up and not to persevere, to figure that the purpose of marriage is my own happiness. And if I am not happy in the face of these difficulties and these problems, then, well, it's time to think about another marriage. Not, however, the virtuous person, the person who has fortitude, this moral courage, a strength of soul, a resoluteness. It boils down to this, that whatever the opposition, a true follower of Christ doesn't abandon his good resolution, doesn't abandon his fight to do good. Every virtue is difficult, but fortitude is something that affects every virtuous act. Usually the practice of fortitude in marriage and in life in general is not dramatic. It's not dramatic. We have people in church here today who have practiced fortitude in the face of illness, job loss, of poverty, of frustrated ambition, of problems with a spouse or with children. But there is a great reward to those who fight the good fight and who continue nevertheless. It's a virtue, fortitude, especially for Christian families who are faced with what we're faced with in society today. The dominant culture is not even nominally or vaguely Christian, still less Catholic. So we're not going to get that much support from modern society. So for fortitude, for perseverance, you're going to have to look to the principles of your faith, the principles of your religion. Husbands and wives, first of all, have to practice fortitude. There are many situations for this. And perhaps as you're listening to the sermon, you think of some examples of this in your own life. That you refuse, for instance, to give up if one partner is failing to practice the faith. How many times I've seen that? How many times I've seen that? And the consistent prayers of the wife for the husband or the husband for the wife and the virtue of the partner who is practicing the good Christian virtue of fortitude eventually obtains the grace for the partner who is not practicing his religion. You must also seek out the ordinary areas of endeavor where the partner may be tempted to lose heart. And you have to be a source of encouragement for each other in marriage. The wife with her home problems, with children, with housework, and then vice versa, the husband who, let's say, has a difficult situation in his job, has to make a lot of sacrifices to support the family. It's that encouragement of the partner to have fortitude. And steadfastly maintaining and retaining Christian principles and morality when those around you, acquaintances, friends, and relatives, might lead you otherwise. How often we are confronted with that. So husbands and wives towards each other, and then parents promoting the virtue of fortitude with their children. That's something that you have to instill in your kids. You encourage your children. You emphasize that they never sacrifice a spiritual good for what is called human respect. In other words, the attitude of peers around them who are doing evil. Kids have to be strong, have to stand up for the faith and not be affected by what's going on around them. As it were, they have to make your faith their faith as well, and your moral virtues their moral virtues as well. Secondly, as regards children, you have to have the children pray for and encourage someone who is facing a difficult or a discouraging personal situation. You have to give them tips and pointers on encouraging other people who are having problems as well. You give them fortitude through word and through example by telling them what they have to do to encourage others to persevere, and by giving them an example yourselves of how you persevere in the face of difficulties. And that has to be something across the board, because, you know, kids like to make excuses to get out of doing things that require effort. Most adults, too, unfortunately. But you have to instill in your children the sense of duty. When there's a question of they want to avoid school or abandon the work assigned, not help in the housework, break a Lenten resolution, that's where you encourage them to persevere and to have fortitude. So it's the family season, as it were, in the church's liturgy. And to make a strong family, you have to have this fortitude. Think of your own confirmation, how you received the Holy Ghost to make you a strong and perfect Christian and a soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to think on that and think of the bravery of a good soldier. Put that into practice in your own family lives. As the Collect says, grant that by the steadfastness in that same faith we may evermore be defended from all adversity. And in the words of the canon of the Mass, as regards the virtue of fortitude, grant us some part and fellowship with thy holy apostles and martyrs. Make us brave members of our Christian families. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.